Hallelujah. Why don't you go ahead and open up to John chapter 2. The other day, a couple days ago, we talked about one of the exhortations on the offering was this. And that came out of Matthew chapter 4. We talked about Jesus in the first temptation. And in that first temptation, one of the things that I said was that it would probably was the most subtle of the three temptations, because there really, scripturally, there was nothing wrong with Jesus turning stones into bread. The only thing wrong with it was that it was not the will of the Father. That was the deal. And had he proven his sonship to the enemy by saying, "Yeah, I've got the power, I can turn these stones into bread," other than the fact that it just was not what God's plan was, God's end result in feeding Jesus, we find out as we continue to read, was that he was going to send angels. He was going to send the supernatural to feed Jesus after a 40-day fast. Well, Jesus could have stepped in and done something different, and per se, it would not have been sin, per se, except for the fact that what would have happened to Jesus' earthly ministry if that program would have started. If that mixture would have started in his ministry from the get-go, like, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and do what I can do and what I have the power to do, but I'm not going to listen first to see what my Father. Had that begun from the get-go in his ministry, then it would have followed, that program could have followed, theoretically, it could have followed his ministry, and we know that's not going to happen, but we're just going to look at some scriptures, just going to read a little bit. Is that okay? And we're going to ask you just some real practical questions, like, what would you have done in this situation versus what he did in this situation, because he got past the first temptation? Now, in John chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. We'll just go down through verse 9. "And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto his servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 first skins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew. And the governors of the feast called the bridegroom. And he saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." Now, we've heard this, we've read this before. Now let's kind of summarize just for just a moment. If Jesus had not got past the first temptation, which was providing for himself, even having the means to provide for himself, but not willing to listen to the voice of the Father. And this is a tremendous lesson for us, because in this, what we just read is provision. They needed wine. The marriage ceremony had run out of wine. How many of you believe that Jesus was real smart? Real, real smart. I mean, Einstein plus smart. When they came to him and said, his mother, they don't have any wine, you know, do something about it. What if he had not passed the first test? What if his physical mind begins to interfere with the God mind? And what if he begins to think, you know what, I've got a good idea. I know where there's a winery just down the street. We can go get some real quick. Now, the question is, what would you do presently? What kind of programs are running in us concerning our provision. Have we began to get to the place where what we're hearing this week is there's a realm where we can stop and have everything that we need if we'll just stop and believe that that realm will get it over to us? Hallelujah. And here's the deal. Had he not passed that first test, what a program would have run in him. Now, we're not here to say, to blame anybody. My God, there's programs running in all of us, except for the fact these conferences are teaching us, look, old programs are being replaced with the program of God, the wisdom of God. If our prototype could have passed it, we can pass it too. He didn't stop and say, okay, let's go buy wine. Let's go to another one. Matthew 14. Back up a little bit. We're just reading scripture. Is that okay? 14 and verse 13, it says, and when Jesus heard of it, he departed. Here's some more provision. Thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them. And he did what? Healed their sick. Now that's supernatural for sure. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time now is past. And send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. And Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up into heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. Hallelujah. Another example. The intelligence of Christ. What if the original or the first temptation was not passed? What if the program runs in him of a mixture? What if he believes that he can heal the sick through the power of God, but what if his natural mind takes over in times when the disciples come to him? Look, he knew he was going into the wilderness. He knew that he was going to go out and he was led by the Holy Spirit. He could have begun to surmise and say, look, here's where, okay, I can reach into the gift of wisdom. I can reach into the wisdom my Father gives me, and I can begin to believe, or I can begin to give instruction. Like, we're going to be out there for a few days. We're going to be out there, and there's going to be multitudes. Why don't I begin right now to prepare for that? And why don't I have like a camel train come over the hill just about the time that everybody's hungry and all that provision be packed on, you know, all of everything, all of the fish and all the bread and everything that's going to be necessary? You know, that would have worked. They could have, you know, it would have taken time. It would have taken energy. The only thing is, that was not the wisdom of the Father. The provision was supernatural. The provision was, I don't want to do it that way. Listen, a lot of times wisdom dictates certain ways, but what the key to all of this is, and what the bottom line is, what is your Heavenly Father saying to you about meeting your need? That takes relationship. That takes fellowship. Matthew 17, one more. Do you like this? Verse 24 through 27. And when they were come to the Capernaum, they had received tribute. They that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? And he saith, yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? You know, when Jesus, they stopped him outside and they were really kind of trying to put a slant on Jesus. And those who collected tribute, they were saying, look, is he trying to get around what he needs to be doing? And I don't know if Jesus just picked it up or he may have heard the conversation. he may have just read the face of Peter and saw that Peter had a scour look on his face, like there's a doubt here, there's something. He knew, Christ knew what was going on. He had been accused. And he said to Peter, he said, "Peter, what thinkest thou, Simon? What thinkest thou, Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their children, or of their own children, or of strangers?" And Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." And Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free." He says, "Look, look, do they tax their children or strangers?" And Peter says, it's strangers. In other words, it's the aliens. It's not their own people. He said, it's strangers. And he says, Christ gave him an example. He says, okay, then are the children free? In other words, we're not subject. He was really teaching him something spiritual. We're not subject to natural laws. We're not subject to the things of this earth because we're from another, as these guys have been teaching, another planet. And he says, "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast in a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." Listen, if we get what these guys have been teaching about kingdom principles and kingdom, the dimension that we're supposed to walk in, we're going to go past the norm of things. We're going to go into a place where programs that have been inside of us, when we need tax money, if you want to put it that plain, well, where do I go borrow it? Or how do I put in extra time? Or what is the natural way to get this thing provided? And listen, none of those things are wrong, except for the fact that we've got to get past the first temptation, which is getting past a place where we solve things on our own. That we begin to employ and say, okay, Father, what is your mind? So supernatural, Jesus says, no, you know what? He could have taken the moment and said, look, Peter, go ask Judas. Tell him what we need from the bag. Pay mine and your taxes. He didn't say that. What he did was he gave an example so all of us have an example to follow. He gave it so supernatural. Go to the sea, cast in a hook. Now, Peter was a fisherman, but his fishing franchise was based on nets. And he says, cast in a hook, and the fish that you bring up. Well, somebody, somewhere, must have lost a coin at some time. Because a fish, I wish Jim was up here and could do his fish. A fish swallowed it. It was a coin, it was a Roman coin that was minted probably of the day. But listen, he didn't do that strange thing just to say, wow, look at the miracles. What he did was to give us an example. Look, in all situations in life, in all provision, there is either your mind or his mind. Stop. Look, listen, what is your mind? Lord, what do you have? What way do you want to meet my provision? And you know what? I believe old programs are going to be replaced by his new program, which is God in us. Hallelujah. The hope of glory. Amen. We have the mind of Christ. Amen. How many of you are blessed and would like to be a continual blessing to this ministry and to what God is doing? Now, as Gary always says, there's only two ways to give in the New Testament, and that is what he says to you. And if you can't hear or you don't think you hear, then just purpose in your own heart what he'd have you to give. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Let's just ask the Lord. Father, we thank you for the grace of God. We're asking you to, in these days, to continue to help us as your sons and daughters to get past those places of self-provision where we don't wait. But Lord, let us know that your greatest desire is to meet our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Speak to their hearts. Lord, what you would have them to give, we receive now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.